It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Lots of people say they can't draw. Probably most people say they can't draw. And if they do doodle, like during a business meeting, they probably draw a box, maybe a three-dimensional box, something simple. But Atlanta-based illustrator Mike Lowry wants to start young when it comes to creating artists. He's the author of The Pursuit of the Pesky Pizza Pirate. It's part of a series of books that encourages kids to doodle in the book. Mike, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
So, okay, here's my first question.
Okay, I'm
ready. Being a parent myself, I know how often when kids really like a book, they want to read that book over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've doodled in this book, can't they only have the experience once?
Oh, no way. So that's the whole idea, right? So my daughter is 9,
mm-hmm.
and we buy a lot of the doodle books that are just kind of cheap paper that are meant to be that, you know, they say something really specific. I want you to draw an octopus. I want you to draw polar bear or something like that. And what I found is that she wouldn't revisit these books when she was done with it. So this was the whole idea that that I had with my publisher, is that we would create something that's in between a comic book and a doodle book, and that it would be something that they would want to, because it actually tells a story.
Right.
Rather than just being these floating images. And you're exactly right. With these doodle books, it's typically something.
Well, the paper is like a coloring book.
Paper is thin, really thin. And it's something that the only person that would want to look at it later would be the kid's parents. Whereas with these books, hopefully, right, is that the kid is not just drawing in the book. They're helping to tell the story. And so then parents want to end up reading the story later and that sort of thing. Also, the thing that we noticed is that librarians now, which normally wouldn't keep a doodle book in the library, obviously.
Because they don't want kids scribbling in their books.
Right, yeah. But I'm encouraging that they scribble in all books. No, just these books,
obviously. I was just about to say, kind of like.
Kids out there, go to the libraries, draw in the books. No, but the idea would be that, so now librarians are getting these books, and they're picking certain students to fill out pages. And then when they put it in the catalog in the library, they're listing both me and those kids as the author.
Oh, how funny.
So now other kids are going and checking out books from, you know, their classmates and things like that.
So since you mentioned your daughter, let's hear from her. We spoke with your 9-year-old daughter, Alistair, and it sounds like you're training her early.
When I grow up, I would like to be an author and illustrator for children's books, like my dad. I like to draw cats because I think they're hilarious, and I love to draw unicorns because I think they're really funny. I really love to draw, and I think it's a fun activity because my dad does it, and I really think I'm good at it.
So is she good at it? You can tell me. We won't. I'll never tell her.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. She might listen to this. You know, she is good at it. She's. I think that she's really. She's always been really creative about stuff. I mean, I guess everybody sees certain things about their kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're really excited about, and they really push in those things. And so luckily, one of the things that I really like just happens to be something she's really good at. And she's really good at drawing, but she keeps journals on her own. I mean, without me pushing her to do it, of these little stories and things like that, or stories about trips that we'll take or something like that. This is something that I do a lot, is every day I keep a sketchbook, which is also kind of a journal diary type thing. And I do think that that's one area that she saw and she's picked up on that. So if we travel together, I like to draw little things about our day, and she does the same sort of thing.
You both seem to think it's hilarious to draw cats.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, why not? Everybody likes
drawing cats. That's a passion that you enjoy. And that's actually, oddly enough, we spoke with another, our producer Sean Powers spoke with another kid, 11-year-old Lucia Rodriguez of Atlanta. And she says that for your book, she drew both herself and an animal that would help. The main character in this is Carl the duck.
Yep.
And she drew an animal to help Carl.
Okay.
I draw a cat. His name is Chuck. He stands up. And he wears dark glasses. There was this one that said, put one that crosses so you can cross the bridge. And I put the cat that he was stretching over and so they could walk over him.
So, okay. The idea behind getting kids to doodle. What's your darker secret mission here, Mike? What are you really trying to make kids do?
So, you know, I think that it started with more of it being a personal. So I keep lists of all of the things that I really want to accomplish. And some of it, you know, sounds
like life plans.
Some of it is, and some of it's just personal goals. or professional goals. In a personal way, years ago, I made a list of, you know, how do I want to spend my time? You know, how do I want to make money in terms of how it relates back to number one being family, second being that I like to travel also with my family, and then the third being how I spend my time making art and turning that in. So anyway, so some of them are really big like that, and then some of them are I want to do a project that has a duck as a narrator who's really grumpy, right? So those are pretty...
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished with one of those. Yeah, so... So then the idea for this one was that I just kind of combined together some of the things that I wanted to do in a project. I wanted to make a book that 9 to 14-year-old me would have just loved, and it's all pizza jokes and pirate jokes, and then the other one is about, there's a new one coming out that's about a robotic cat that's made out of old tuna cans, so his robot smells terrible, and then there's one about space slugs and stuff like that, so... That's all kind of
space
part of that.
Space slugs.
Space slugs.
You kind of slid that in there.
Yeah. You know,
pardon the pun.
We can focus on it for a minute if you want. Space slugs to me. So that was all the initial idea, right? It wasn't a bigger picture idea. And then the more that I started working on it, I really wanted it, like I mentioned before, I wanted it to be like a comic graphic novel type thing mixed with drawing, which is the thing that I do all the time. And what it turned into, I realized as I was writing the story and I was writing jokes that I'd liked, that I thought my kid Alistair might like, I started realizing that something bigger came out of it, which was this idea that reluctant readers is a big topic right now in this age range. There's a lot of books that are really targeting kids that are reluctant to read. And what we learned with this one is this targeted those kids, but it also targeted kids that are reluctant artists.
So I want to play Sean spoke with a number of kids. So here's 9-year-old Mackenzie Burns of Atlanta. And she also says she doodles in your book. And that she says that because of you, she's created some really interesting characters that she really likes. So here she is. Here's Mackenzie.
Well, there's one that I drew a while back, and it's called Flying Turtle. And it's this turtle that has an umbrella on his shell. Bunnies, they can hop. And birds, they can fly, but turtles just kind of sit on the ground and do nothing. So why can't turtles fly too? He has a sidekick, and the sidekick is a porcupine who likes to jump over things. They're just kind of a team.
Okay, so in addition to her flying turtle and her amazing jumping porcupine, Mackenzie, I guess she kind of sees it sort of as a journal the way you do. So here's what she says about all of her drawings.
I'd forgotten what was going on in my mind at that point. And I'm sure if I could go back in time, I would have written it down somewhere, although my spelling would have been kind of bad. The drawings, it helped me further extend my imagination in my writing and spelling work. And it's definitely helped me get better grades.
So you're catching kids kind of on both ends of their educational careers, right?
Yeah, right.
What does the drawing accomplish?
Well, it's all part of this bigger picture thing, which is when I go to schools and talk at elementary schools, or even if I talk at AIGA or these Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrator events and things like that, it's always the same. It always has, at least has this one similar theme, which is to keep a sketchbook. And the idea is that I don't think of a sketchbook in the way that I think some artists have been taught to think of a sketchbook, or the way that people who are not artists think of a sketchbook, in terms of you go to a coffee shop, you set up this easel, you know, or you're on this French river.
Right.
Right.
Or overlooking a cliff side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. And I'll keep describing more scenes and you'll just make sort of sound effects.
Right.
For,
okay.
What those. You know, I don't think of a sketchbook as being like that, as this really sacred space that you can't make any wrong marks. I really do think of it as this constant thing that becomes this exercise space where you can kind of keep practicing and it gives you a chance to play around. And I think that for some people it might be drawing, and for some people it might be making notes or lists and things like that. And then they can kind of play off of the way that they're using that sketchbook. And I think that these books are kind of meant to do that, where I think that if people look at the kind of illustration that I've put in the books, they don't feel intimidated to do their own version of something to go along with the story.
So you mentioned the AIGA, which is the American Institute of Graphic Arts, I believe. I'm speaking with Atlanta illustrator Mike Lowry. He's the author of the new children's book, The Pursuit of the Pesky Pizza Pirate, and it encourages kids to doodle. Let's hear, here's another interesting point made by 11-year-old, clearly genius, Lucia Rodriguez of Atlanta. But she believes that drawing helps her in all of the subjects in her classrooms. Here she is.
Sometimes I just doodle random stuff. Sometimes I doodle flowers. Sometimes I doodle, like, I try to doodle a dog, which I'm not really good at. But I think, like, drawing makes me, because in math you need to do equations, and sometimes my drawing helps me think better and focus more on the drawings.
I realize you're biased toward doodling, but do you buy that argument that doodling actually helps a math student?
I think that it all kind of spills over into this, I don't know, maybe just this idea that staying active and letting your brain play a lot would allow you then to think that there might be alternative ways of looking at an answer or looking other ways of thinking of an answer, meaning maybe doodling allows you to find new ways of accessing bits of your memory that you wouldn't have thought of before. In terms of like how certain people might find alternative ways of studying that it points,
right?
I think somebody else would have found to be absurd. I don't know. I can't think of an example.
Like a duck that's so hungry for pizza that he becomes cranky.
Do you think that that's absurd? I think
it's objectively absurd.
Artistic genius, which is. Yeah.
Okay, so I have to ask you before we go one last controversial question, and I'm going to have to insist that you weigh in.
Okay, here
okay.
we go.
Do you tell the truth about your kids' drawings, whether they're good or not?
To the kid or?
To the kid.
Yeah.
There is a big controversy about this because there are those who say you don't tell your kid their drawing's beautiful if it's awful and they just scribbled it in 4 seconds.
Right.
And those who say, look, you need to encourage your kid in all things. So where are you on this? Do you tell them the truth or not?
Okay, it's a little bit of a longer answer, but I'm going to cut it down.
Okay,
I'm going to shave off some stuff. So it kind of goes back to this idea when I was teaching. So I taught college age students for about 15 years, and I had this question come up a lot where they would, where not necessarily one of the students, but maybe a parent, maybe someone outside of the school would say, what do you do when you have a student that just doesn't have it? You know, it being bold or italicized or whatever.
Talent, I think they're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that this idea of what is good is so arbitrary and subjective that a kid's drawing, if a kid is drawing, you can't say something is bad because they're actually sitting down and they're trying to be creative on something. So maybe the good of them working on this in general would be the fact that they're entertaining themselves for 20 minutes or something like that. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to skirt around and not answer the question, but meaning how could I as a professor tell a student that they don't have what it takes or whatever to become an illustrator? Because I don't think that the work that I'm doing when I was in grad school, there's no way that a professor would look at this and think like, oh, well, this is good.
Okay, you sound like an art teacher. Let me play you this comment from Marco. He also is an adult doodler.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds bad. He doodles as an adult.
No, it's not bad. It's what I make a living
and
doing. So
he says he tries not to criticize his daughters all that much.
I love to draw, and I still draw a lot. Every time that I have a napkin and a pen, I will be drawing something. So they do the same, and it's not that I want it in a specific way, but I will always try to, okay, I think that this could look better. I always say, okay, you're copying something from the real life. Look at the shadow, look at the reflection, look at how, I mean, just, but they can draw whatever they want.
Okay. So if you're going to critique your kids' drawings, if you just saw them, took a, you know, puce-colored crayon and scribble something in 4 seconds, and they say, hey, Dad, isn't this beautiful? How do you do that without squelching their imagination?
So I think the idea is that you just, as long as you're not dismissive, that's the only problem, is that then you have to look at whatever you want for the kid to focus on more meaning. And maybe, I mean, maybe you're not an art professor and maybe you don't have the training to say whether something is working or not versus good.
Your perspective is off there.
Yeah, right. I mean, so I give Alistair a bunch of art history volumes that she has to pore over every night before bed. And, you know, there's a lot of crying at the house. And she keeps writing art with a circle and a line through it all over her walls. But
no,
I think that the idea is that you just encourage them to push forward. And, I mean, but this is in everything that they do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they can't just stay in their comfort zone and just they do a couple of quick squiggle marks, you're not going to constantly say, oh, you know, we're going to like lift her up and raise her through the house.
Right. Let's take down the Van Gogh and put
right, up. Exactly. And so then it, I don't keep necessarily all the quick sketch stuff. I mean, her house is only so big, you know, and then I push her to say, okay, now let's try this. And so in that way, then it's not dismissive and it's interactive where I'm interacting with her and engaging her and trying to push her forward and whatever she's doing.
Okay, wise words from Atlanta illustrator Mike Lowry. He is author of the new children's book, The Pursuit of the Pesky Pizza Pirate. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.